This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Tired of being tracked online? DuckDuckGo can help. They help millions of people like you take control of their personal information online. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. We will be speaking with our binding arbitrator,
yes,
Scott Lewis from the Voice of San Diego.
It's a very level-headed blow.
In just a moment. I don't know if he knows what this whole thing is all about, but we will ask him to settle our dispute right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Let's go out to the SDCCU Fan Hotline for the first time this shortened holiday, post-holiday week, and we are joined by our friend Scott Lewis, the editor-in-chief from The Voice of San Diego. Scott, it is good to have you on. I'm sorry, we're going to put you in an awkward position this morning.
Oh, I thrive in awkward positions. That's my most comfortable spot.
Okay, very well. Well, you know what? This is a compliment. It's simply because we both respect you.
Yes.
And trust that you will give this topic the due thought and then come to a decision for us. And it's, you know, you're like our binding arbitrator.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We just agreed. All right, we can't settle our dispute, so we'll let Scott Lewis,
voice of reason,
settle it.
Fantastic.
Woodsy claims it is not okay to wish someone a happy Memorial Day.
That's not what I said. You cannot tweet.
You said, though, you can't say it either.
You shouldn't say it.
You shouldn't say it. You can't tweet it.
You can't tweet it.
I don't have a problem with tweeting it, and I certainly think you can say to someone, a Memorial Day. I just don't have – I understand what the purpose of the holiday is, but I don't think it means don't be happy at all during the day, and I would like to wish someone a happy day. So we go to you to decide whether or not it's okay to tweet Happy Memorial Day.
Well, I think a lot of things are okay, but I don't think that hits it. That's off. It's just off. It's not, it doesn't seem, I think if you really are internalizing what Memorial Day is, it is a little bit off to say happy about that. It's like, you know, like the Jewish faith has the Day of Atonement or something like that. So like, you don't really want to say, like, happy day of reckoning with your sins and such. You know, like, it's like it's just a little awkward. And so I would say it's not that it's, like, taboo or, you know, literally wrong. It's just off. It's off. Yeah, it's off.
It's a misfired note.
It's a faux pas.
I don't know if it's even a faux pas.
It's just not, it's not quite right, you know, like, just not, I don't know. I would do something like, I hope you have a great day while we remember, you know, who have made this possible, something like that.
Yes, yes.
We are parsing words here. We are parsing words. I guess I agreed to the binding arbitration.
Thank you very much.
It sounds like Scott Lewis is going to side with you on
feel
this
vindicated
debate.
Finally, I win an argument against Ben Higgins.
Amazing.
It's not easy to do.
It's okay to have a good day.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
okay to wish someone to have a good day.
Yes.
But by all means, do not tell them to have or tweet them down.
Definitely don't
a
tweet
happy
it.
Memorial Day.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Scotty, how are you, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well. We haven't even really talked about it yet, but a little bit of a return of a semblance of normal this weekend. Me and my wife and son, well, we went down to the beach and we walked on the beach. Now we had, if you go to the stairs, please wear a mask going up and down the stairs. One out of nine had a mask on. I was one of them. My wife was the other one. Other than that, I mean, the surfer's running down. I get, you don't want to wear a mask when you're surfing, leave it on the beach. I get it. But it was a little weird, but it was, we went to a restaurant. We waited 6 feet behind the other people. We sat outside. There was really not a lot of other people there. And even that felt a little strange, Scotty. Where do you stand right now on how phase two is going for us in San Diego specifically?
Yeah, you know, it feels like we're getting into that part where it's not the restrictions that are holding the economy back anymore. That it's the actual, like, pandemic that, you know, like, now we have to deal with people's confidence in being out. And that's why I think the masks are important. It's not just about, you know, it stops the sneezing, it stops you from touching your face, it also like really signals to everybody else that you're doing everything you can to lock this down, and so it's actually a confidence boosting measure so that you can go and interact and stuff with people. You know, like you walk into a deli and everybody has one on except for the guy, you know, preparing your food. It's going to feel weird. It's not going to give you the confidence that that man is doing everything he can do to, like, you know, lock this down. And so I think that we're entering that phase, that sort of adaptation of, like, this is our life for a while with it. You know, they're going to keep opening things. I'm sure they're going to open gyms and churches soon. But they're going to have these, like, really strong restrictions on them. Like, you can only have quarter or half occupancy in your building. But it all boils down to this one giant restriction, which is, like, don't get together inside. Don't have funerals inside. Don't have choir practice inside. Don't go inside for, you know, these tight, like, political rallies or something like that. That's going to be done. And you probably shouldn't do that for a while. But you know what? Like, I think it's time to start, you know, hanging out outside with some friends. Don't necessarily share food. You know, don't be making out with your friend's wife, you know, that kind of thing. Like, kind of stay away from the sharing of the the fluids. But otherwise, like, I think it's time to start, you know, that new life of this is that threat that we sort of just deal with.
Scott, do you see any complications? As you mentioned, things are going to be reopening, but at 25% capacity. Churches, restaurants. But if everyone wants to go back, how are they going to decide who's allowed to go? Is it simply, you know, first come, first serve at restaurants makes sense, but that doesn't necessarily make sense at a church. You know, everyone wants to worship, but only 25% get to come and go to heaven. The rest of you are all condemned to, you know, eternal suffering. I don't really understand how they're going to make that work.
As a new clergyman, Scott, I was ordained over the weekend for Paul and Megan's wedding. It's by tithing. Whoever gives the most gets in. It's just like, you know, you want to sit in a suite at a pottery game, it's going to cost you.
Well, you joke about that, but
no,
we don't want to
yeah.
set up a system where just people who can afford it now can go out to eat or go out to worship, and everyone else is just out of luck.
Yeah, you know, I think the actual house of worship in most cases doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be, like, the connection with God. I don't believe in God, but I have a lot of, you know, connection and study a lot. And I think, like, there's going to be a lot of adaptations that are really strong. I think go outside. There's so much, especially in San Diego. Go outside. Spread out. Turn your parking lot into a vast open area. Get some new speakers. You know, reserve some giant camp spots or something. You know, figure out ways that people can spread out. And I think that there's going to be the adaptation part of it where people wear masks and they wear face shields when they're doing your nails or whatever. But then there's also just the rebrand, the redesign stuff. And that's where, like, outside just comes into focus. Like, that's our only shot at this. Like, just don't get together inside and have a, you know, karaoke party. Don't do that. Like, people screaming and they're, you know, like, that's the worst thing you could be doing right now, is sharing food inside in a buffet style and then screaming. There's so many studies and CDC investigations that show that. So figure out how you can do that same thing in a broader more ventilated area with, like, and that's why I think, like, the open spaces, of all the things they need to be doing, I think they should be just fully embracing outside everything. Now, it was a little weird. I was at Mission Bay this weekend, and let me tell you, there were a lot of boats with some really big families of people the same age. And so, I don't know that that's what you should be doing. You shouldn't be on a pontoon boat with, 12 other people from different families. But, go outside. Do everything you can possibly do outside. And then when you are inside, in close quarters especially, put on a mask and then take care of everything else so that you can communicate to everybody you're with. You're locking down everything you can.
Scott Lewis from Voice of San Diego is with us. We talk to him every Tuesday. Speaking of masks, this has become, even here in San Diego, there's like a debate. People like refuse to wear the masks. They feel like it's a political statement. How do you convince someone who's not wearing a mask to wear a mask? It seems like we're pretty clear on this, that wearing a mask is helping protect other people, especially when you don't, some people carry the virus and show no symptoms. So anyone wearing a mask can actually be helping others. Yet some people actually feel like it's embarrassing, or I mean, I can't tell people what they're supposed to feel, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't understand the argument over not wearing masks that some people are making right now.
Yeah, I think, like, you can make it clear, like, look, if you're riding your bike, up to Oceanside from San Diego, like, you don't have to wear a mask. Like, that's obviously, we're not talking about that. If you're jogging through a street, I talked to an epidemiologist who's like, she was a jogger. She's like, I don't even know how that would work. Have a reasonable expectation that if you're going to be near people, tell them that you care about what you're doing, and it helps with confidence that you're taking care of your stuff so that you guys can be closer together. It's everybody's taking it as like this sign of fear. To me, it's the opposite. It's like, we're ready to go. We're ready to get out there. We're ready to, the football players wear a helmet and a mask, not because they're scared. They're wearing it because, like, it allows for, and maybe too much, contact. It allows for people to get back into it. What we have to do is convince people across the community that it's time to go. It's time to get out. It's time to be safe with it. And that's what I would tell people who are reluctant. Like, look, this is a way to tell people. They did a poll for Fox. Fox News did a poll. Not exactly, the liberal state. Fox News did a poll, said 73% of people say they're wearing a mask. And everybody's like, well, maybe they're not. They say they are. That doesn't matter. That means they feel like they should. That's the normative standard, is to wear a mask. And so, like, yeah, if you're going to be around people, especially if you're serving them, or if you're, close quarters inside, wear a mask, and that helps them come into your place. That helps them feel comfortable about being in your store, or about being in your cafe, or about being in your church. And so, like, I think it needs to switch from, oh, it's this fear, oh, you're paranoid if you wear a mask, oh, it doesn't actually block the virus. It doesn't block the virus. It stops you from touching your face, and it stops you from sneezing on people. It stops you from, like, sometimes a cough comes and you don't really control it. Like, you don't want to cough in front of people these days. So
it's the most panic-inducing. It happened to me at the grocery store the other day in my mask. And it was just one I swallowed wrong or something. And I was like, and you could see people turning and looking at me. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm not, as far as I know, I'm not infected with the COVID. We're talking to Scott Lewis from Voice of San Diego. The touching of the face is a big one for me. I never realized how much I touched my face until now. I can't. And it is huge for me. Scotty, allow me to quickly ask for a personal reason. I don't know how much reading you've done on COVID-19 and pregnant women. I have a pregnant wife. We're a little bit paranoid, I would say. We've read a couple of things, albeit the source wasn't, the most down the middle. But we've read a couple things that had us a little bit paranoid. Do they know much about how this could affect somebody that's pregnant? Because I know we have, myself and audience members as well that are going through this.
No, the one thing I did read was that, pregnant women, their immune systems often, really step up and can be really strong. on. On the other hand, we're seeing some cases, very rare, but some of some children whose immune systems get so fired up because of this attack that they actually have tremendous other problems. That's a pretty rare thing. I'm not a doctor, but let me just tell you. But no, I think like it just goes for everybody who's in a vulnerable situation. Like you just don't want to take any. You want to know who you're going to be around and that they've quarantined, and you want to know what your own policies are, and just have like a central policy for your house. Like everybody can go outside. You know, you can see people. You know, don't be making out or anything, and stay, you know, understand your network. As we get more testing, then it'll be kind of like HIV. You'll need to know your status. So like get tests liberally, you know, like get and know that you're safe, and then have your network know their status as well, so that you can feel more and more comfortable. But I can't give you a direct answer about why, but I do think like same thing goes, just take care of your own situation, and when in doubt, you know, like, don't risk it. Don't make that trade-off. But, hey, congrats. I didn't know that.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Last thing, Scott, just quickly, because you're not allowed to be on the radio without talking about a stadium issue of some sort. What was there was the turnaround last week. It looked like the city council was going to take more time and was going to fund more money for the city attorney to look into the San Diego State Stadium and Mission Valley land sale, and then all of a sudden Georgette Gomez, the council president, kind of did the about face and put it on the docket for a special session this week on Friday. Are they just going to vote and approve this thing, does it look like now?
I think so. However, something really interesting came out Friday. The city attorney laid out this giant memo explaining her concerns about the recycled wastewater situation. So we have a plan in San Diego that in about 20 years, 30% of our water will come from recycling wastewater. And there's going to be two phases of that. The second phase will depend on a lot of infrastructure pieces, which the city says they're going to need some of that in that Mission Valley land, in that river park. And, in fact, there's a giant aquifer there. They can store some of this clean water, some other things they want to build there. And she laid out this really long thing saying the city could face these dire consequences to that plan, which is key to some other things I don't need to explain right now, but key to, you know, the city's plans for its entire wastewater system. And so there's a big, you know, problem there that I hope that they can smooth out over the next few days and at the city council meeting. I think it's almost guaranteed that if you ask the council to vote on Friday, they're going to maybe even be unanimous, but in support. But this is a thing. Like, this is a thing that they need to work out. And so I bet over the next couple of days we'll see more about how that'll be dealt with. SDSU will have to make an agreement somehow to allow the city to do what it needs to do on that land, while also protecting, you know, this beautiful river park that they want to build. It seems like something they can solve, but it is something.
Well, Scott, even though you ruled against me in this first case, I will agree with your judgment, because we respect you that much and appreciate you coming on with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Scotty.
Yeah, thanks, Ed.
Scott Lewis, Voice of San Diego, Editor-in-Chief on our SDCCU Fan Hotline. Vote SDCCU for Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at sdccu.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big bank banking, it's better. By the way, if you want to stay connected with 97.3 The Fan for United States, San Diego, let's move California forward. Our people, our businesses, our leaders moving California forward. We're moving into our final hour, Woods. Want to talk a little bit about the decisions baseball is now facing. There's a little pivot over the weekend. There wasn't no news. There was at least some reports of a little bit of a pivot that we want to discuss about Major League Baseball's potential return. And Woodsy watched that Lance Armstrong documentary, so we want to talk about that as well. We'll do that coming up. Stay tuned. Ben and Woods, one more hour to go on a Tuesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.